what's going on in the interior of our lives. Because what goes on inside us is what manifests outside of us. What we think and what we feel in our heart and what wills through us is what manifests itself. So Paul's very, very interested in the interior work that we have to do in our lives. And that comes out in his letter to the Ephesians. Last week, we talked about Paul's use of the word therefore. You remember that. There's a lot of things that God is speaking to us and through the scripture and through prayer. But then Paul says, therefore, follow it up with behavior. Whatever's in your head and whatever's in your heart that the Lord has put there, therefore, put it to work. Put it into action. And some of those things that Paul said to put into action were things like speaking truthfully. Don't sin in your anger. Be useful, he said. And he said, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. He said, use wholesome language. And then finally, he said, mediate often on Christ's death and resurrection and what that means for your life. And for this reason, this interior work that Paul's wanting us to do, and it should be a very important part of our life, really part of our prayer life, how is the Lord speaking to us? What's there in our minds? What needs to be fleshed out? What do we need to let in from Christ? All of that interior work Paul encourages us to do. And because of that, Paul's actually sometimes called the mystic of the New Testament, because he's dealing with that mystery that seems to be taking place in our minds and in our hearts, and wanting to find that unity of mind and heart so we can be a person of integrity. We can be a whole person, because so many of us are torn apart in our minds and in our hearts. We're drugged this way on one issue and this way on another, and we don't seem to be at rest with our spirit within. And Paul says, if you want to be at rest with your spirit within, you got to do the work. You got to do the interior work. And that means a prayer life. That means spending time with Scripture. That means just listening, meditating upon the Word, and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you in those times and to guide and direct you. Well, this morning I want to follow up with what Paul says in what we heard from Ephesians when he says, be careful then how you live. So Paul's kind of bringing it all together here. He says there's interior work that you have to do, but therefore make it happen on the outside, but be careful. Don't take this activity and this spiritual practice lightly, because it's central. It's a centerpiece of our lives. So he says, be careful then, because the days are evil. That is, they're full of temptations and you can mess things up real easily. In fact, it seems like there's 1,000 ways to do something wrong and maybe only 1 or 2 ways to do it right. That seems to be the way that life goes. In fact, Jesus said, you know, the way is narrow to life. The road to destruction, of course, is very broad. And so it is important that we spend some time doing the interior work so that we know, what are we supposed to do? What is the therefore that I'm supposed to be acting out in my life? So how do we live our lives wisely as opposed to unwisely? How do we live so that, as Paul says, we might understand what the Lord wants us to do? How do we do that? Well, it begins on the inside, as we said, and then moves outwardly. We have to get our head and our heart right, and then wise behaviors will follow. Now, usually, when we think of the image of wisdom, one image that comes to mind is the owl sitting on the old knotty tree, right? And he's sort of just sitting there quietly, taking it all in and being very thoughtful and very, very deliberate. And that wisdom is sort of this reserved, quiet looking at things and taking it all in. And I suppose that is a very important part of wisdom. We already talked about, you know, sort of being quiet and listening and taking in the Spirit. But Paul follows up his instruction to live wisely with something that I wouldn't have expected. What does he say? He says, speak to one. If you want to live wisely, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another in psalms, in hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. That's his sign of a wise life, that you're going through life with a song in your heart. And that song lives through you. It's the song of the Holy Spirit, and it manifests in your life. And then you have wisdom, Paul says, because the Holy Spirit is present and singing for you in your life. I attended a pastor continuing education course this past Friday and Saturday at the University of Indianapolis. A lot of pastors there, and we were supposed to be learning, you know, deep theological ideas and practical ways to administer in the church. But one of the most amazing things that I found was at lunch when I was talking to a pastor, and a real funny guy, and we were having a good conversation. He leaned over to me, very, very serious, and he said, "Ken, do you know that you can sing the lyrics of Amazing Grace to the theme to Gilligan's Island?" And I said, "Well, I didn't know that." And when you try to do it, it's not easy because you want to sing both, but I'll let you kind of work that out in your head while we're sitting here. But it made a point for me because that song has been in my head, that tune, for 18 hours since lunch yesterday. Something's going to be in your head. Something's going to be in your heart. What is it? Is it the song of the Holy Spirit? Or is it the song of the world? Or is it the song of the evil one? What's the song that's in your heart? What's the song that's in your head? Something's going to be in your head. Try for about 30 seconds. Try not to think of anything. You can't do it. Something, you're going to be thinking about something. Paul says, think and speak and sing with the Spirit of God all the time. Otherwise, the days are evil. And the temptations come, and they will take you down a wide and destructive path in your life. Paul says, sing in the Spirit. The wise life, the one that leads to understanding what the Lord wants us to do, is to be sung, in a sense. Life is a song, in a very real sense. So that means life in some ways is enchanted, because enchanted means song. The word enchanted, we get the same word cantata from the root. That Paul says, in a sense, let your life be a cantata. Something beautiful. Something that sings beauty into the world. Something that just sings a song to those that you meet. And Paul says ultimately that this song is a song of gratitude. He finishes his meditation with us this morning by saying, "And give thanks in everything." The song is really a song of thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for the new day. Thank you, Lord, for my family. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for this job that, yeah, it's 6 in the morning and here I am getting out of bed, but thank you, Lord. Thank you for the roof over my head. Thank you for the health that I have today. Whatever it is you have to be thankful for, Paul says, fill your head with and your heart with the song of the Spirit, and it will be a song of gratitude. Naturally, it will be a song of gratitude because of what the Lord has done for us. Now, that's not easy for us to do, to keep gratitude and thanksgiving in our hearts. Because there are things that bug us and irritate us. There are things that get under our skin. There are things that people say to us that work us up into a frenzy. But Paul says, let the song of the Spirit be in your heart. Now there's this spiritual practice that I really challenge you to do this week, to help you become attuned to the song of the Spirit in your life. Engage your life so wisely this week for 20 minutes each day, during which time you're mindful and thankful for everything that you encounter. If you can't do it for 20 minutes, try it for 10 minutes. I can envision my morning maybe looking like this. Lord, Thank you for that alarm clock. Is it really already 6 o'clock? Lord, then thank you for the new day. Thank you for these legs that got a little cramped overnight, but they'll get moving pretty soon. Thank you for the sore back, but I know it will work itself out. It always does. Thank you for the running water that we have this morning. Thank you for that light that just came on. I just did this and the light came on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that. That noisy mockingbird outside the window is at it already. Thank you, Lord, for the mockingbirds and the other birds that I hear. There comes the pitter-patter. It's my oldest daughter's little dog. She says it's her dog. It's really our dog. Because we're the ones that walk it and feed it. And thank you for him. Really, if we took it all in and we were grateful for the new day each day, for the people in our lives and the blessings, even in the midst of the struggle and the hurt and the anxieties that we are feeling for the upcoming day, we could discipline our hearts to allow the Spirit to sing through us. And that's when your life really changes. That's when relationships begin to change around you, as the song of the Spirit is pouring in to those relationships. Now, there are all styles of music. There's Southern gospel that people sing. There's rock and roll. There's hip-hop. There's blues. There's jazz. There's classical. So just in the same way there's different ways to enjoy music, there are different ways that you will sing the song of the Spirit in your life. Some of you will live with a thankful heart, and it will be very loud and joyful. It will be a loud and joyful noise because that's just your disposition. You're out for the Spirit just loudly echoes throughout your life. Others of you, in music, by the way, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mary, that's called fortissimo, I think. Very loud. Some of you will sing your song in a softer tone, but people will know just the same that there's a sweet, sweet Spirit that's speaking and singing through you. I believe that's called piano. That's probably not the correct pronunciation. With a P, yes. The nice thing about learning and practicing the discipline of singing to one another in psalms and hymns and songs of the Spirit is that even when you're having a bad day, even when you just don't feel like singing, Paul says elsewhere in Romans, his letter to the Romans, that the Spirit will speak for you. The Spirit will sing for you. The Spirit will be your strength in those moments of weakness. When you encounter that irritating coworker, when you encounter that irascible boss, when you come across a child who's not showing you respect. Or that spat that you had with your spouse last night is still going on in the morning. The Spirit, Paul says, can sing for you, even in your weakness, even when things are tough, even when you don't feel like it. In Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, he says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. The Spirit intercedes for God's people. So when we don't know what to sing, either because we're just not up to it, or we're angry, or we're tired, or we're cranky, the Spirit keeps on singing for us, even in our weakness. Have you ever gone to it's been a while since I've been, but have you ever been to a chamber orchestra, or maybe a college or a high school or choral orchestra, or orchestra? All the musicians are sitting there, and they have their instruments, and they're getting ready to play this beautiful piece. Let's say Handel's Messiah, for example. Hallelujah. That's a pretty upbeat, powerful song, right? Now, you would hope that most of the musicians on the stage at, when they're playing that are having a good day, but there's probably some that aren't. Have you ever wondered? You know, they're making this beautiful noise up there, sound up there, this beautiful piece of music is being played out before us, but there's people up there, real people, and probably one of them on the way in, their car broke down that afternoon. One of them may just got dumped by their boyfriend. Who knows? Who knows what's happening? They're human, and so in those situations, they're not feeling well. They probably don't feel like making music, but written before them, and they've practiced this, they probably even know it already by heart, is this masterpiece. And they play it anyway. And it sounds so beautiful that it rings so beautifully in our ears that we even forget sometimes the struggle and the pain that is present even in that human situation of that group of musicians there. And so it is with the Spirit in our lives, that there is a lot of pain that we feel. There's a lot of struggle, there's a lot of hurt, there's a lot of disappointment, and life can get ugly really quickly. And we can go down that spiral with it. And before we know it, our life is in a free fall. But Paul says it doesn't have to be that way, though. The hurt is real, the pain is real, the struggle is real. Paul talked about the thorn in his flesh that he prayed that the Lord would take it away, but the Lord never did. But so it was always there. He had his struggles. But you remember when Paul was locked up in prison in jail with the other men there, did he start banging his cup on the wall and the bars and start complaining and yelling? What did he do? Do you remember? He started singing. And the other men, some of them started singing. And an earthquake happened. And the doors came open. And they were free. Even in our darkest hour, the Spirit can sing through us and will sing through us and can open the doors wide open so that we can experience joy even in the midst of our hurt. And the last thing I'll mention this morning is Paul finishes up by contrasting two types of drunkenness, you might say. He says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, but avoid being drunk on wine. It's no coincidence, I don't think, that we use the word Spirit both for God and both for liquor. Because it's really two choices that you can make to get your ultimate happiness, to be filled, so to speak. One leads to life, the other one leads in drunkenness, leads to destruction. And so Paul contrasts these two spirits. It was always confusing to me as a little boy when I would be driving down the back seat of my mom's car and look up and it said, you know, spirit store. Oh, you can go in and buy spirit. Oh, do we have to go to church today, Mom? They're selling it over here. People are confused. Adults are confused about what spirit will lead to their joy. Now, I'm not going to say that Paul's talking about drunkenness here. He says, don't be drunk on wine. Don't lean upon the bottle for the or the spirit of liquor for your joy, because he says it leads to debauchery. Now that's an ugly word, isn't it? Just when it rolls off your lips, it sounds ugly. What a debauchery. I like studying looking at the roots of words. Well, where does that actually come from? It's actually an old French word that means to entice one away from one's duty. So the spirit of drunkenness, Paul says, entices you away from the work of your life. There is work to be done in this short life that you have, and if you chase after that spirit for your joy, it will draw you away from your purpose. If you get drunk on the spirit of the bottle, it will lead away from the purpose in life. Instead, Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. That is where your joy lies. That will keep you focused on your work, on your life's work. And Paul ultimately says our life's work is to sing with gratitude, to sing a song of gratitude as we go about doing our work that the Lord has laid out before us. But the main idea in our passage today, again, is to live wisely by being filled with the Holy Spirit. And what it looks like is an enchanted life, in cantare, a cantata, a music singing through you, even when you don't feel like it, because the Spirit will sing for you. And what it looks like is thanksgiving in everything, in the name of the Lord Jesus, who holds all things together. Let's pray. Father, our heads will be filled with something, as will our hearts. The fool, the psalmist says there is no God, but the one who is wise lives in constant gratitude in everything. Thank you for that reminder from your scriptures this morning. Father, teach us to be mindful of your presence. Give the song to us. Give us hearts to accept it and minds to receive it, that we might sing your song, the song of salvation. And in all things, we will give you glory, praise, and honor now and forever. Amen.